I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. If any man be in Christ, there's a new creation. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Christ is our life. Christ is our hope. Christ is our peace. Christ is our redemption. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our righteousness. We're accepted in Christ. We're complete in Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. As he says, if righteousness come by the law or by religion, Christ has died in vain. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, and we won't be looking for it to supplement him. We have a person, and in that person we have eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, we announced today that we were going on and in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the wonderful fourth chapter. Now, you know, the best way to study the Bible, of course, is to get alone with the Lord and go into this book in the Spirit. And then the next best way is not in an assembly a large gathering where the preacher does all the talking, but to get in a living room. Why don't you start a Bible class? One lady came to me some time ago and said, we're starting a Bible class in our home. My, she gets 20 or 30 ladies together, and she's having a wonderful time. And the teacher goes out, and then they get the opportunity to answer the question, and then, of course, they take it up verse by verse. Another lady wrote me and said she has about 20 or 25 women that gather with her every Sunday afternoon. And all afternoon they study this wonderful Pauline truth. And I had a letter from San Francisco the other day. I didn't know the lady, but seems to be a splendid lady. She wrote and said, I have 100 women in my Bible class, and we're now taking up Pauline truth. Well, it's been rather slow getting it started, and we've had to pioneer, and we've had to fight every ism, including fundamentalism and everything else, to get this message going. But thank God, it's going now, and it can't be stopped, and that's what the Lord wants done. He wants this truth, this Pauline truth, to be proclaimed. And there's so many that are afraid today because the big Bible teachers boycott and malign them and oppose them and refuse their pulpits to them and persecute them and try to make them cease teaching that which the Lord wants make known. Well, now we're going into this fourth chapter of Ephesians. And we want you to open your Bible now and let's carefully study it together. You know, Paul said in the third chapter, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now he says in the fourth chapter, the first verse, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body, one Spirit, as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, if we're going to walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith we're called, we can't do that unless we first know what our calling is. And you know, God says in 1 Timothy 3:15 to 16 that you and I ought to behave and know how to behave in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He wasn't telling us there how to behave when we're in the building, but it means wherever we are as members of the body of Christ, and our behavior is our walk. And if we're going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, we don't want to get our calling mixed with the kingdom calling or an Israelitish calling, we're not marching to Zion, and we're not going across Jordan. No, dear friend, you and I are in the heavenlies in Christ, and we're waiting for Christ, who is our life, to appear. And God tells us how to walk. Now notice, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, when Paul leaves the Corinthians, he says in the last part of that 13th chapter, now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And after he says that, you will find that he uses those three words more than 100 times, faith, hope, and love. And he says, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember in Corinthians it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. And in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're told that we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that Almighty God ever baptized anybody into the Presbyterian denomination or the Baptist denomination or the Methodist denomination or the Nazarene denomination or the Pentecostalist denomination or the Carmelite denomination or the Lutheran denomination or the Catholic denomination or the Episcopalian denomination? Never. God baptizes by one Spirit into one body, and that body is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the house of God. It's the family of God. It's the one joint body of Ephesians 3:6. Now, God is not concerned about any of these sectarian walls or any of these denominational barriers or these little side issues. That's not of God. There are members of the body of Christ, of course, in the midst of all the religious confusion. There's some in these different denominations and sects, but that's not what God's doing. When we get to heaven, we won't find Presbyterians and Lutherans and Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and Episcopalians and Nazarenes and all these. No, we'll all be one in Christ. And inasmuch as that's our future, and the Lord Jesus in the 17th chapter of John prayed, Father, that they might all be one, even as we are one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, why don't we obey God and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, recognizing what? One body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One man down south said to a group of people, I wouldn't give up my denominationalism and my loyalty to my church for all of the come-outers in the world. Well, it isn't a question of a come-outer. It's a question of what God's book teaches here. And the book teaches there is what? One body. That body is called the joint body. It's the one body of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the one head. Now notice, you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one Baptist. There isn't a Catholic faith and a Protestant faith. There isn't a Presbyterian faith and a Methodist faith and a Baptist faith. There's just one faith. And there's one Lord, only one Jesus Christ, and there's only one baptism. And if you add your denominational baptism to the one baptism, you are absolutely out of the will of God. Isn't it strange when we have this unity and this one all the way through the Bible, that there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we're told in Romans 6 that Jesus Christ died unto sin once. And we read in the 2 Corinthians 5 that he died for all once, and that we should not live unto ourselves but unto him who loved us and gave himself for us. Then one died for all. Then have all died with the one. And we're all joined to him. We're members one of another. and we're in the one body. And he appeared once in the end of the ages, and by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. He suffered for sins once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. One man brought sin in the world, and by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, many shall be made righteous. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Notice how this unity, this oneness, runs all through the Bible. And then we get over and spoil it by putting an extra baptism here. No, he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.